Time now for our Madison, Camby, and Dawson Library Show. We have something special today. We're not going to visit with Lydia, as we usually do, but we have a best-selling, well-known author, entertainer, comedian, Lorna Landvik, on the phone with us. Hi, Lorna. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
I am happy to be here. Hello, everybody.
Now, you had a lot of titles there. Best-selling author, entertainer. What else? Comedian?
Let me see what else I have for you. Playwright. I've written some plays. How about Pulitzer Prize winner? Oh, wait. I haven't done that. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a very, very proud grandmother and an almost as proud dog owner.
Oh, nice. Almost as proud dog owner, huh?
Yeah, we got a great dog.
Well, thanks for joining us on the library show here today. Lorna's actually going to be in Dawson on Thursday, April 27th at Dawson Memorial Auditorium at 7 o'clock, and we'll talk more about that later. We appreciate you coming out to Western Minnesota, Lorna.
It'll be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You already did. Maybe your upbringing and your family and stuff and education.
Well, I was born in North Dakota, actually. We lived in East Grand Forks, but my mother was a North Dakota farm girl, so she was thrilled that they had to cross the river to get to the hospital in Grand Forks. I was raised in Minneapolis. I would say from the age of 6, I knew I wanted to be a writer. I had some very influential teachers along the way. In high school, our senior year, my best friend and I decided we weren't going to go to college right away. We were going to hitchhike through Europe. So
okay.
We did that.
Wow.
And came back. Both of us attended the University of Minnesota briefly. And then we got in my friend's Mustang and drove to... Oh, no, it wasn't a Mustang. It was the poor man's Maverick. And we drove to San Francisco because both of us had always enjoyed performing comedy. So we did stand-up as a duet and had a lot of fun. Not much success, but a lot of fun. And ultimately, I lived in Hollywood for about 8 years because as much as I've always wanted to be a writer, I also have always liked acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought in my 20s I'll concentrate on that. And I performed stand-up comedy and improvisation and always wrote, though. I would write monologues for myself, for my friends. I would write short fiction, but in my heart, I always knew what I wanted to write the most were novels. But in my 20s, I just felt I didn't have what it took to write a novel.
Okay.
And I guess what it takes is just a lot of time and energy and perseverance and, you know, more of a wide-open worldview. You know, in my 20s, I was just, I guess, too much of a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
too immature.
Well,
and
everyone has
so,
dreams.
Yeah.
Everyone has dreams. I was in a theater at Morehead State and up in Morehead, Minnesota, in college, and my dream was to make it, go to Hollywood and make it. So, and you actually lived there, huh?
There we were. Yep. Dreams are the fuel of everything.
Yep.
You know, and so I loved Los Angeles. I loved San Francisco. I had a great time in both cities, but ultimately wound back up in Minneapolis very happily. And I continued my acting career in that I worked with Dudley Riggs. I was a cast member and would be in a lot of shows with friends. And I still do a show every year at this theater in Minneapolis called the Bryant Lake Bowl, which is a fabulous old school bowling alley restaurant with a theater where the old game room used to be. So I still like performing very much, but if I had to choose between one, I'm sure I'd choose the acting.
Okay.
So anyway, the first year we were in Minneapolis, when I was working at Dudley Riggs, I would write late into the night, and that was my first novel, Patty Jane's House of Curl. And that took a long time to get published, but that's where the perseverance comes in, which I really didn't have as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody told me no as an actor, I'd think, okay, thank you, bye. But as a writer, I thought, I'm not going to take no as my final answer till I tell myself no. So I had, 30 rejections before Patty Jane's House of Curl was finally published.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's perseverance, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So.
And I something very helpful, I had a little book called Rotten Rejections, and it talked about all the many books throughout history that had been rejected over and over and over again and then finally published. So that was, I thought, well, if this writer or that writer can do it, I can surely hang on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned writing when you were 6 years old. So what were your early influences as a writer then? I mean, where did get that love to write?
In first grade, we learned how to read, and so Dick and Jane were very pivotal.
I remember them.
Yeah. And then as a girl, I loved books where girls were the heroes, like Little House on the Prairie books or Caddy Woodlawn. They were big influences. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I was captivated by so many books.
Okay.
I can't say that I read a lot of science fiction as a kid.
Right.
I guess I just thought regular life was odd and wondrous enough.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the books you have written. You've written a number of them. Tell the listeners about them. Yeah.
Patty Jane's House of Curl was my first book, and it's set in Minneapolis at a fictitious beauty salon that in my head I imagined across the street from Minnehaha Falls. And that concerns two sisters and how they survive, a life that really didn't start out as gold-plated. My second book, and this is kind of funny, how books really come to me, is they'll come into my head with the title and then two or three of the main characters with their names. And I have no idea often what the title means. When Patty Jane's House of Curl came into my head, I thought, is this about a beauty salon? Because I had no, my mother never went to a beauty salon, was very proud of her naturally wavy hair. And so I was never in a beauty salon till I think my 11th grade prom.
Oh.
And when the title Your Oasis on Flame Lake came into my head, I thought, what is this? And then I just start writing, and then I learned it was the name, it pertained to this nightclub this guy starts in his basement. So that's usually how books come to me. My latest is called Last Circle of Love, and it's about a church circle of a really crumbling, not doing well Lutheran church in a fictitious southern Minnesota town.
Okay.
And they're trying to figure out how they can make money for this church. A lot of congregants have gone over to the big Prince of Peace mega church, and they can't, they can't make any more recipe books. Fundraisers, they don't have any more recipes left. And what they finally come up with, and it's sort of a joke that they begin with, but then it really blossoms, they decide to write a book, an ABC book, on their views of erotica. But it's not like there's no leather right. or chains. You know, it's just their ideas of love and partnership, and it was really, really fun to write. Sometimes surprising,
yeah.
and like all my novels, I always, you know, they're very character driven, so I want the readers to really believe in and care for the characters, and if they can laugh and cry at the, you know, along the way, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I just want, you know, my books to say, come on in.
I think I ask about every author I interview, Lorna, this question. I find it interesting that writers or authors always have different writing habits. What's your writing habit? So how does that come? You mentioned how it comes to you, but how do you do that? Do you just start until you're done, or you go at it daily, or what's your schedule?
Well, I would love to have a daily schedule, and I really admire those writers who are at their desks, you know, at this certain time till that certain time. But I'm a little more flexible, and usually I don't write until our dog gets to the dog park, and we have a fabulous Mississippi River off-leash dog park. And then I come home, and, you know, by then it's early afternoon. So often I will sit down then, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I goof off until the evening, and sometimes I goof off all day, but will consider my thinking about the book actual work to see I'm a really good boss of myself. but my goal is to write every day. I don't write by outline. I don't know where I'm going. I just write. The more I write, the more I learn things. The more I learn things, the more I go back and change things and foreshadow things. But it's really, I'm sure you've heard of this, the pantser versus the plotter.
Okay,
school of writing. And I think there are hybrids of each. I think some maybe do a partial outline and then write the rest by the seat of their pants. Others, like me, I'm never an outliner, and it's totally the seat of my pants, and that's why all my jeans are so threadbare. But you just find the way that works for you, and that's what I always tell young writers who just aren't as confident in the way they write, or think that there's a particular way you have to write, and there really isn't. It's whatever works for you. You might want a very, very precise outline with, you know, pages and pages of characters development written out, or you might just, hey, I have an idea, I'm just gonna see where it takes me. So there's no right way to write.
Yeah, okay. That's
in my
awesome.
Opinion.
Yeah, that's awesome. On your website, Lorna, I like this. You mentioned that all your books that you've written would make excellent movies.
So all movie producers out there who are listening, give me a call.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had a couple options, but so far the options haven't led, you know, to a full
right.
feature.
Is that one of your goals?
I love movies, and I know that often movies adapted from books are, you know, my preference is always the book. Oh, the book was so much better. But there are, you know, there are certainly really good exceptions, like, you know, Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird, or Larry McMurtry's had some wonderful film adaptations, and it would just be really fun. And then I'd also say, hey, give me a small role in this. You know, I'm no dummy.
Right. Okay. Hey.
So, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we did make a short, what's called a proof of concept movie, a 23-minute movie of Oh My Stars, which is set in the Great Depression. And we cast it in the Twin Cities and filmed it locally and then out in rural areas. And that is being used now as a tease rather than handing somebody a script. You right. can say, hey, look at this proof of concept. And it won some awards, but then that dastardly COVID hit and kind of, you know, shut down all sorts of things. But I think Oh My Stars is a story that is really relevant to today and our need to get along. And so I really hope something happens with that.
Okay, great. Well, Lorna, I want to thank you for joining us on the Library Show this morning. And, you know, listeners, mark this on your calendar. Lorna Landvik is going to be at the Dawson Memorial Auditorium Thursday, April 27th at 7 o'clock.
Yes, and I guarantee you will have a really good time. And if you don't, well, it's just your fault. No, it'll be really, really fun. A lot of laughs, a lot of insight. It's just going to be a really fun night.
It will be. So, Lorna, appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. And I think the idea of a library show weekly is, wow, that's great.
Yeah, we've been doing that for many years, and it's very informative, that's for sure. I've learned so much from, you know, interviewing authors like yourself and other people and about libraries in general. So they're more than books.
Yep, so. Huge fan. And if I were in your area, I would certainly tune in every Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. All right, thanks, Lorna. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Lorna Landvik, best-selling author, entertainer, and comedian. Once again, she'll be at the Dawson Memorial Auditorium Thursday, April 27th at 7 o'clock. And this has been another Camby Dawson Madison Library Show.